Hey everybody, it's Woody. It's a beautiful afternoon, so I decided I would come outside and record my response. So that's what this is going to be all about. This is the response to my 20 questions at the movies questionnaire, and we're just going to do this as one take because it's windy, it's gorgeous, I'm parked under a tree. I don't know if I'll have to stop because I'm next to a skate park. So we'll see if any skateboarders show up or anything like that. It's really windy. It's a lot windier than I thought it was. So hopefully it's not too windy. But it proves the fact that I'm outside, which is good. So I wrote down all the questions. I've got them right here. I printed the piece of paper out, and there's bugs crawling on it now, which is awesome. But before I start, I just want to say, you know, this is a really hard questionnaire to answer because you're avoiding some pretty key categories. I tend to avoid in my answers like documentaries or like music concerts, because even though there are like filmed versions of that, like my absolute favorite music concert is Stop Making Sense by Jonathan Demme directed it, but it's about the Talking Heads. It's just amazing. So definitely worth checking out. But I didn't put it on the list because I just kind of wanted to stick to the questions as best I could. And it's really going to probably, I'm going to have to probably add onto this like once a year or something, because there's going to be new favorites that basically crop up as a result. But I appreciate you guys listening and answering the questions, whether you do it in a verbal response or in a written response. That's great. I really appreciate it. And thanks for checking it out. So here we go. Question one, I'd personally be hard-pressed to force someone to pick a single favorite movie. Instead, why don't you pick the genre of movies that you're most fond of and cherry-pick a few favorites from the list? And why would you choose that genre? So, movies are already a little bit of kind of an escape from reality, so I tend to kind of take that to the extreme. So my genre starts with fantasy, but it actually extends more into the sci-fi aspect of it. So I tend to think about things like obviously Star Wars and other movies like Blade Runner, which is more of a noirish type movie. But then there are really odd kind of standouts for me, like this movie, well, Existenz is a movie by David Cronenberg that's really good with Joseph Fiennes, I want to say, and Jennifer Jason Leigh. It's a really obscure movie, but it's a really, really awesome movie. Kind of, it challenges the way that you think like movie plots would normally go. And then of course the more mainstream version of that is probably Gattaca, which is another brilliant movie as well. Recently I saw Anomalisa, which is it's not really a sci-fi movie, it's more of a drama, but it's a really, really interesting take on and it's great for this subreddit because it kind of plays with the whole, you know, the way that you would think about how voices are interpreted and realized. So that's fun as well. The Last Starfighter is definitely in that sci-fi fantasy realm. But I also branch out into things like Legend and Princess Bride. So you tend to get a little bit more fairy tale type things. I know I'm totally skipping over like animation and, you know, cartoons and whatnot, which a huge part of that as well. I mean, the idea of animation is that it's not even rooted in any sense of reality. You can basically make up whatever rules you'd like to have in that. So I respond less to special effects, so I'm not a big effects guy as much as most people would normally be in like the sci-fi side of things. I prefer like a strong story, but the plot line is really important to me in a movie, and I think fantasy movies really let you kind of stop for a second and say, yeah, I do believe that an alien's gonna come down and rescue Alex Rogan and take him up to his planet to do that as well. Question two, what do you pay attention to the most when watching movies? And I have a bunch of examples here. For me, a well-shot movie always wins. I'm always gonna watch a movie rather than listen to it. When I'm really invested into the visuals and the way that the story is presented visually, I'm going to pay attention to it. So some of it is the director, so I'll pay attention to how the director shoots his movies or essentially how a movie unfolds. and I listed a couple examples. I thought like Paul Thomas Anderson and Wes Anderson as well. So, but you know, it can be the director, it can be the screenwriter. But if the actors support it, then I'm all in. So, question three: is there an actor, actress, writer, and/or director that has you for life? Someone whose movies you'll always watch, and why? So I listed a few, and some of them are going to be weirder than others. I'm going to start with actress Meryl Streep. I could watch her movies for forever, basically. She's probably one of the best actresses, per se, because she really challenges the way that you think about the way that she acts. She's always taking different roles, and I really enjoy the way that some of the different choices that she's made in her career throughout as well. Similar to that is probably like Kate Blanchett. I didn't list her, but Kate Blanchett is kind of the same way for me. She's just kind of transformative. She doesn't make you think about acting as much as she makes you think about how you can invest yourself into a performance. And I just think that she, for pretty much all of her career, she's done lots of challenging work. You know, there's some obvious like standouts that I'm blanking on right now, but basically, yeah. Director, this one's a surprising one. John Carpenter, I really, really, he doesn't direct anymore, but I will love basically anything that he's done, and that includes bad stuff. Like, I think he did Ghosts of Mars, but he did They Live, he did The Thing, he did Assault on Precinct 13, he did Escape from New York. So John Carpenter, definitely there for me. And then he, of course, he's a musician as well, and screenwriter, so that's always neat, as you know, as well. So I'm definitely a John. And what else did he do? The Fog. Did he do The Fly? I can't remember. Screenwriter, I wrote down Charlie Kaufman, and he's written Being John Malkovich, Adaptation, Synecdoche, New York, and Anomalisa as well. He directed Anomalisa as well. So Charlie Kaufman as well. There's one other thing he did. What else did he do? I can't remember off the top. He wrote something else. But for me, it isn't that he writes well. I just think that he's kind of thinking outside of the box when it comes to movies. So I appreciate that. I wrote down Spielberg, of course. And then for actor, this is going to be a curveball. I actually think Matt Damon is a very, very talented actor. He's also one of those people that you can kind of see in different roles, drama, comedy, action, that sort of thing. So he's got the Jason Bourne thing going for him. But he's also got like The Informant, and he's been in some pretty funny movies as well. So, but he's a good dramatic actor too. Thomas Crown Affair, I think, is probably not Thomas Crown Affair. The Talented Mr. Ripley. Thomas Crown Affair was Pierce Brosnan. Oh goodness. So he's good in that as well. The Talented Mr. Ripley. If you guys haven't seen that, that's good to watch. Your favorite romantic scene in a movie? Question four is, I went with the classic. I went with the ending of An Affair to Remember. And I don't want to spoil it in case you haven't seen it, because it's a great movie, but just there's a part in that scene. It's like the last 4 minutes of the movie. There's a part in that scene where I just lose it. And it's the part where she's unwrapping the shawl for the first time. And, I mean, the slow realization of what's about to be basically uncovered is, it just wrecks me. Your favorite, question five, your favorite action sequence in a movie is, I went with a kind of an obscure one, and I would probably have gone with another obscure one as well, except it got remade. The Raid 2 Redemption. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It's a foreign language action movie. Is it Cambodian? I can't remember the language. It's actually recorded in Cantonese, maybe. But it's the easiest way to describe it is think it's like The Godfather with nonstop. There's some tense scenes in it, but it's basically crazy action the whole way through. So there's a car chase in the middle that's like 7 minutes, and I'm not even kidding. You read about like technically how this chase scene occurs, and they essentially demolished a car to fit a camera through it in the midst of the chase. It's amazing. It's visually, it's, and I know there's CG in it probably as well, but it's just, it's wonderful. I love that. I love that action sequence. There's a bunch of others. I'm again excluding most comic book action sequences, because I mean, as we saw even this summer, you have the latest, you know, Captain America outshining with this awesome, you know, epic battle scene. So your favorite comedy scene in the movie, scene or question six, is the end of The Jerk. And if you've seen it, you know the whole movie is hilarious. I love the beginning as well, but the end is hilarious when he's kind of realizing that he doesn't have the girl, and you know, he's basically led himself to this miserable life where he's he's like $0.11, and he just keeps writing these small little checks because he's got to pay these people back for I can't describe it. It's hilarious. He's like an entrepreneur, and he invents this like put your glasses on sort of thing. So anyway, so he settles out of court, and everybody gets 11 cents back from his wealth, and his girl breaks up with him, and it's hilarious. So basically he's like, he starts leaving, and he's like, just picks up random stuff, and he's like, I don't need you, I don't need anything. He's like, I need this ashtray, I need this chair, this paddle ball. It's hilarious. So, and then at the end he's like, and that's all I need too. I need this. It's hilarious. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's really funny. Question seven, crossover one, books and movies. Have you ever read a book after watching the movie? That's a no. I actually asked that specifically. Look at how windy it is. I asked that specifically because I hadn't done that. Usually I'll read the books before the movies, if I read the books at all, and I'll try to read books pretty often. But once you see the movie, it is kind of like a, there's less inspiration to go watch a movie, which is fine. I mean, that's how it goes sometimes. But yeah, that was a really long way of saying no. Have you ever seen a movie that was better than the book? Yeah, I've seen a couple actually. So I'm not a big Stephen King guy, but The Green Mile I thought was a better kind of pound for pound movie interpretation. That might just be a little bit of bias, because most people favor Shawshank over Green Mile, but I thought Green Mile was just amazing as well. And then my bonus question, my favorite movie/book combo. This is going to surprise some people. Up in the Air was written by Walter Kern, who I think also wrote, I don't think he wrote Jawbreaker, but he wrote another book that was turned into a movie. And obviously the movie directed by, what's his name? Jason Reitman. Yeah. So, George Clooney and, Anna Kendrick's in it, Vera Farmiga, Jason Bateman's in it too. But that, I think that movie and the book kind of encapsulated exactly where the kind of the perfect moment in time. So I really liked Up in the Air, and I read Up in the Air kind of on this weird, not transitional time in my life, but you know how life kind of takes you different places. So I actually read it on a plane, which is kind of ironic, but I finished reading the bulk of it in just a few hours. I'm a fast reader, so I read the bulk of it on a plane, and it was good. But then when the movie came out like a year after, I was like, I read that book. And of course, I went to it, and I loved it. And I thought the movie was pretty well done. Oh, it's a sad movie, though, so. Question eight, crossover number two, movies and music. Have you ever found a favorite song perfectly included within a movie? Yes, I actually have. The movie Lost in Translation is one of my favorites, and there's a track drop that Air, a French band, did called Alone in Kyoto. It's on their album Walkie Talkie, but if you've seen it in the movie, it's when ScarJo goes to Kyoto and she walks around the Buddhist temples there. Very, very cool stuff. Also like anything Tangerine Dream in the movie Risky Business. Most of that's track drops from, what's the name of the albums? Tangram and Phaedra, I believe it's pronounced, but the way it was used in Risky Business. And of course, Love in a Real Train is one of the best songs of all time. So anytime that's in the movie, I think it's the beginning and in the end, well, not in the end, but in one of the scenes as well. Yep. All right, question 9. Do you watch the Oscars/Golden Globes? Do you tend to guess the winners correctly? I did watch them a lot, like maybe 10 years ago, but not as much recently because I don't really go to the movies that often. I love going to the movies, but I don't really get a chance to watch movies in theaters very often. So there's a better chance that I'll have seen the movie if it's released in advance of Oscar season, but usually I'm only going to the movies. My folks and I have this kind of holiday ritual where nothing else is open, and when you're full from holiday lunch or dinner, you just take them to the movies. So, yeah. Sometimes I'll think an actor or a role looks good from a trailer, but I won't know instantly if it's going to be, you know, qualified for a... for an Oscar or whatever. So, sorry, there's a wasp. I don't like wasps. Question 10, watching movies at home using the service provider of choice has altered the ritual of going to a movie theater somewhat. So what are some of the sensations you enjoy when you go to the movies? What are the essential refreshments you like to have? Where do you like to sit, et cetera, et cetera? Going to the movies is really, really fun. I kind of like driving to a movie and getting there early and kind of the anticipation. I'm not a big miss the previews kind of guy. I kind of like to be seated before the trailers start. But I also like the ticket rip, you know, and you walk in, you buy the tickets, and then they rip them for you. Concessions are always fun, although I don't eat anything at the concessions anymore or drink anything. I might, like, get a cup of water, but... I'm kind of a snob, and I'll have a handful of popcorn, but I don't really care for popcorn excessively. Sometimes I'll go for a pretzel, or if they've got a nice coffee bar, I'll get a cup of coffee. The last popcorn I really, really challenged myself with is this. I sprinkled curry on top of popcorn. I don't know if you've tried that. It's delicious. So definitely try that next time. Instead of butter, I don't know how you smuggle in curry. I guess you could... try, but I don't smuggle food in or drinks or alcohol or anything like that. When I'm sitting in a stadium seating theater, I'll sit the middle top row, kind of like smack dab in the middle. Obviously, if it's taken, I'm going to go anywhere top row or towards the back. Front row is not really appealing. If it's a non-stadium, which there are plenty out there, I'll sit on the side aisles because I kind of like... the dynamic of kind of seeing it a little differently. It doesn't have to be perfect. I kind of like it. Question 11. Have you ever had an idea for a movie script? What is it? Oh, yeah. When I was 17 or 18, I kind of thought I was going to be a creative writer, something to do with, like, journalism, writing and stuff. And so I was trying to challenge myself creatively. And so I wrote a movie script, which was kind of like... a day in the life sort of thing, but a little bit longer. Basically, this guy finds this penny. He's like a really bad luck guy, and then he finds this penny, and his luck changes for the better. He falls in love, he gets a good job, he gets, like, wins the lottery, like, silly stuff happens. And then he auctions off the penny because he doesn't need it anymore, because, I mean, it's just a penny. And it turns out that, you know, all this bad luck starts happening again. It's pretty bad. And then the funniest thing about it was that he kind of has this moral kind of awakening because of this bum who basically he meets on a pier, and he's kind of like, you make your own luck. I mean, and now that I'm thinking of it, it's pretty stupid. But the other thing I thought of was like, I was like, I have the perfect soundtrack. So I had like the soundtrack figured out and everything. It was pretty hilarious. But yeah, I wrote that for a bit. I've had sketches of like movie ideas, but I mean, nothing really significant built. That was probably the most significant. It was like a spiral bound. Remember when you have those spiral bound notebooks and you just jot stuff down in them and you think, oh, this is going to be great. And then you lose them forever and you're like, what happened? I don't know. So yeah, lucky guy affected by a penny. Question 12. What would you like to do most as part of the movie, cast or crew? Pretend that any role is available. I list a bunch. The sky's the limit. Honestly, I kind of like the idea of being a stunt person. You know, filming and visually, I'm interested in writing. I'm okay. Acting, I'm okay. I'm not good with like technology, so I probably wouldn't do it. And I don't trust my, you know, decorative eye. So I kind of like the idea of being like leashed up and pulled around, basically. Movie fights are fun too. I mean, if you get them choreographed right, that is kind of a technical skill in and of itself. So I kind of like that idea as well. I don't like where this wasp is going. All right. And we're back. Yeah, so stunt person. Question 13. The movie I stop on while flipping through blank, you know, your cable or service provider, and watch the whole way through is... most people are going to say Shawshank, which I probably would have said Shawshank a while ago. But I'm actually going to go with the original Godfather or Scarface. And if I had to pick a non-genre movie, like an action movie or one of those, you know, kind of 3-hour long version, you know, movies, I probably would go like Groundhog Day or something, Bill Murray, maybe Ghostbusters. Something funny where you can kind of take your mind off of like what you're watching. But action movies kind of appeal a little bit more to that temporary attention span. I try to stay focused when I watch movies. I'll get to it in a minute, but yeah, if I'm watching but not really watching, I'll probably go with like one of those formative, you know, movies you can watch and dip in for 2 minutes and be like, I remember this, I remember that. So question 14. Is there a movie you've only seen once but never, ever need to watch again? And why? So there's three I listed here. I'm going to go from easiest to toughest. Lady in the Water. I'm pretty sure M. Night Shyamalan's going to be on a bunch of these lists, unfortunately. I already saw it on Little Mako's. She mentioned The Last Airbender, which... Yeah, but Lady in the Water definitely is not one I need to see again. I like Paul Giamatti. Who else is in that? Bryce Dallas Howard or one of those women? I don't know. I will not turn down The Happening. I do like The Happening, believe it or not. But what? No. And of course, Zooey Deschanel. But Deuce Bigelow, I don't really need to see that again. It was really pretty much a dumb movie. I mean, there's some dumb movies I watch over and over again, but that movie was pretty dumb. And then, of course, Intense. If you haven't seen it yet, but you might know it already, what I'm about to say, I'm not going to recommend... see, it's so weird, because I would recommend you watch it once, but I can't recommend you watch it more than once. It's this movie called Dear Zachary. It's on Netflix. Don't read anything about it. If you hear me say it, then you know what I'm talking about if you've seen it. I never, ever want to see that again. It's awful. It's awful in terms of, like, it's a wonderful documentary, but it's just an awful, yeah, story. And you know what's weird is, it's kind of like, that's a genre that I didn't even mention, like true crime or documentaries and stuff. They fascinate me, but honestly, like, I could probably, like, get lost for hours in movies like that. A movie like Gone Baby Gone, which is phenomenal, but, you know, do I need to watch that more than, you know, once a year? Probably not, you know? Question 15. Do you ever read movie reviews or listen to the word of mouth from others in your life? Does it ever keep you from going to the movies? Well, I don't really like critics. I think critics are a little bit more entitled when it comes to, you know, their own preferences. If they've got an objective eye and they can pay attention to what's good without being biased. Bias is naturally, it's interesting if you read a little bit about it, like how much it corrupts, like, pure art, I guess is the best way to put it. And movies aren't really pure because there's so much that goes into preparation and whatnot. But in general, I will read movie reviews, but more for the entertainment factor. I don't read them to determine whether or not I'm going to watch something. I tend to go with older movies, and and the consensus on older movies is more people watch them, you know, kind of grows. I'll seek out something newer if, like, the subject matter appeals to me, but it's really, movies are really subjective, so it's hard for me to listen to my family or my friends. They're typically watching the, you know, mainstream movies, which is, it's fine. I mean, mainstream is worth paying attention for. I mean, Star Wars, but I don't know. I'll tend to look for something a little bit more obscure, maybe something that has less, you know, attention or something that's more critically acclaimed. And I bring it up already. I brought it up in a few of my comments, but Ex Machina is one of the best movies of the last, like, 10 years. If you guys haven't seen it, it's got Oscar Isaac and Domhnall Gleeson and Alyssa Vikander, I believe is how you pronounce her name. Alicia? I think it's Alicia. I mispronounced it. But directed by Duncan. I can't remember his name now. I'm going to mess it up, but Stuart? Nope. I can't remember. But it's a wonderful, wonderful movie. And it's one of those movies that surprises you as well. So I kind of like movies like that. So, which is weird because now I'm a critic. So don't listen to me. Question 16. Do you watch movie trailers often, over and over, or obsessively? This is kind of my secret. Everybody has Netflix. Everybody has, you know, pick your service provider. You know, you can stream and watch movies, and maybe you have a huge DVD or Blu-ray collection at home, or whatever console you watch on. But I really like watching movie trailers, and older movie trailers from, like, the 80s and 90s, movies that I've never even heard before, because you can kind of see the highlights that they deemed, you know, worthy of pulling out and putting in theaters, or putting at the beginning of cassette tapes, which is how, I mean, I'm part of the VCR generation, so, you know, that's how you... Ooh, it's windy. That's basically how it works, you know? You have to you have to watch the trailer before you know if you're going to watch the movie, basically. So, but new trailers I don't really watch too often. The only exception I'll make to that is if it's like Star Wars. I'll kind of dissect Star Wars and pay attention to that as well. Most trailers don't really blow me away. Once you've seen the movie, I can't really return to trailers. It's windy. Okay. What are some pet peeves? Question 17. What are some pet peeves or particulars of yours when you're watching a movie? First off, I'm not really particular because I tend to watch movies by myself. But if I do go on a date or something, I will ask the person to turn off their phones or, you know, basically lead by example. So I shut down my phone, or I kind of secretly announce like, oh, I'm going to mute my phone, or is your phone muted, that sort of thing, without being like nosy or picky. But yeah, turn off your phones in the theater. I mean, it's the one time where you can kind of not be connected to social media. If you turn it all the way off, it's fine. I'm not one of these sticklers. You have to, I mean, obviously you want to stay safe in theaters, but you don't need to have it chime every time you get a new Facebook message or something like that. Oh man, I'm such a grown up. You know, when you're at home, making movie lighting, you know, turning off everything so that you're watching movies in the dark is, it's fun. It's not a requirement. When we were kids, I can remember my family basically having movie night like once a week, and then we would shut down all the lights and stuff and then pause the tape, pop popcorn, do the whole family movie ritual thing. It was fun, but it was just like, come on, I just want to watch the movie. So this movie that would take like, you know, 2 hours to finish, it would actually take like three because everybody's stopping to go to the bathroom and, oh, I need to fill up my, you know, water or whatever. So it's just, yeah. The other thing is movies kind of, for me, require your attention. So I don't, if it's something I've never seen before, I will probably not second screen it. You know, have your laptop open and like, you know, type or browse or whatever. While you're, you know, distracted with it. Movies shouldn't be a distraction if you've never seen it before. You should kind of let it just kind of wash over you, or, you know, take control, basically. The only exception to that is if it's a sequel or if it's something, you know, I'm familiar with, obviously, I'm gonna definitely do that. Oh, and the other thing is I really love wintertime movies. It gets cold here, so I like having somebody to cuddle underneath a blanket with and kind of like get cozy with and cuddle. And it really doesn't matter the movie. I mean, you can laugh, you can cry, you can basically get cozy with each other. The one thing is, if you're going to get makey-outy, just turn the movie off. Like, don't try to keep up with the plot of a movie if, like, you're more interested in kissing the girl or boy. I mean, I kiss girls, but all right, that's awkward enough. that was an awkward answer. Question 18, go back to question one. One of your favorites has just been rebooted by the studio. Which actor, actress would you cast in the new film? So I was trying to think, like, I don't want them to remake anything big or like something like from my childhood that's a favorite. So I was thinking about what movies could I have them do. And there's this movie called Enemy Mine. If you guys haven't seen it, it's a sci-fi movie. It's got, it's directed by Wolfgang Peterson, which is a cool name. But, yeah. It's got Dennis Quaid and Lou Gossett, basically. Junior. Who is in Iron Eagle. But basically he plays, Dennis Quaid's an astronaut who crash lands on an alien's planet, and then this is so funny because they get to be friends. So it's a little sci-fi, it's a little action. I think Lou Gossett gets pregnant by Dennis Quaid somehow, I want to say. But I love Dennis Quaid too. He's a pretty good actor. He's great in Inner Space and even in Frequency. He's a really talented actor. I like Dennis. He was in the Right Stuff too. He was really well in that. But in terms of modern actor, I think Miles Teller from Spectacular Now and Fantastic Four, and he was in all of those Divergent movies, which I would probably not mention except they're based on books. So yeah, I think he'd be great in that movie. Kind of a sci-fi spin on it, but he seems like he's got a little bit of levity to him as well. So I like that actor. I don't know who would play the alien though. It'd probably be somebody like clever or funny in terms of playing the alien. But go look up Enemy Mine, and if you watch the trailer, you'll see what I'm talking about. This would be a great movie to remake because it's kind of clever and fun. If you've seen it before too, it's pretty cool because I can't remember how it ends, though. Does he get off the planet? No, I'm going to have to look it up when I get home. Question 19. Have you ever tried to share one of your favorite movies with a significant other? How did it go? Yes, I have, and not well. Who directed it? Cronenberg actually directed it. The Dead Zone with Christopher Walken. The original Dead Zone, I think, is... And basically the concept is this guy has this weird disease or phenomena that when he touches people, he can see how they die. And so he uses it to kind of help be like a little detective. It's pretty noirish, but... Did Cronenberg direct Existence too? Cronenberg might be up there in terms of favorite directors. Although he only did... I'm trying to think of what he did that I really... Like, mainstream-wise, I don't know if he's done much. It was the first time I got high, which was interesting. I also had red wine, and it wasn't... I was pretty belligerent. I can remember being very angry at my significant other because I just felt really out of place. I was hungry. I was like playfully scooting her over to the edge of the couch and like spoiling the movie basically ahead of time. She was pretty much over the fact that I was trying to show her this movie. I was like, no, it's great. And she was like, no, nope, not gonna happen. So, but that might have just been the weed. I don't know. All right. Last but not least, if I could live the rest of my life, real life on film, it would be in the movie world of, and this is a no-brainer for me because I am a child of the 80s, Back to the Future. But present day, I would kill to have a DeLorean time machine and be able to go wherever I want in history. I wish they didn't go to just, the 50s and the 1880s and the 2015. I would love a hoverboard. I would love to make money, by betting on sports teams and Almanac. And I know it's a movie, but again, that goes back to the sci-fi fantasy realm of it, which is like, think about that, there are so many other movies I didn't even get a chance to mention, but, it's amazing. Like you think about a movie like Back to the Future, which is really, from a childhood perspective, kind of a formative movie. I mean, this kid, Marty, gets to go basically anywhere he wants, and he ends up having to go back to relate to his family more. And that is bizarre, but it's, I've learned to love the sequels a little less over time. Back to the Future Part 2, probably my favorite because they go to so many different eras. But the first movie is just phenomenal. And I know it's kind of cornball and mainstream, but that's fine. I mean, wonderful acting in the first movie. And, I just want a time machine, I guess. So, I wish I had a time machine to change some of my responses, but I'm going to go ahead and post this because I have no shame in, this gorgeous day. And I know I left a bunch of movies out, and I'll probably have to add a supplementary comment to hit all of the other movies I like. 20 questions is not enough, man. Not enough at all. So, but again, thanks for checking it out. And I'll look forward to reading and hearing your guys' responses and doing a little bit more questionnaires and getting to know each other a little bit better. So thank you very much.